The Iridium Network. What is it, and what can we use it for? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We've been hearing about the Iridium satellite constellation for years, and the news has not always been encouraging. The concept of a space-based telephone network for commercial and industrial use was ambitious, especially in its startup costs. But after some shaky years, the company now appears stable financially and appears to have a growth plan. At the recent AEA show in Reno, ANN's Jim Campbell spent some time talking with Brian Pemberton, Director of Product Management, Aeronautical and Marine Products for Iridium Communications. We'll hear that conversation in two parts, today and tomorrow.
Let's talk about a piece of technology that first didn't come off so well. It started from a very interesting series of almosts and what-ifs and has turned into an amazing re-engineered American success story and something that has tremendous potential already in part realized for aviation. Brian Pemberton of Iridium, let's first talk about what is Iridium doing for aviation right now.
Well, through our large network of distribution partners, we find ourselves in all segments of the vertical markets, from rotorcraft and small GA up through business aviation and now air transport, largely for cockpit communications, but we also find ourselves a lot of use in cabin applications for voice and data communications.
Now, this is all based on a satellite program that was envisioned to do extraordinary things, ran into the obligatory financial crisis and a lot of visionaries who at that time didn't figure out exactly what was necessary to make a success, but obviously is in much better hands now and working well. What's the state of the Iridium network?
It's quite successful and quite healthy at the moment. The original vision for the network was to be a global cell phone network, if you will, before the terrestrial infrastructure was in place. As you mentioned, that timing and technology didn't exactly work to the benefit of those early visionaries, and really our distribution partners had the vision to leverage that sort of simple capabilities into an aviation application, and we find ourselves where we are today. The network is doing very well. We continue to add users and to use up some of the capacity each day, and we find ourselves more and more moving forward. We still have the full complement of satellites up there operating, as well as several spares in orbit.
What's the constellation look like right now, and what will it look like in a few years hence?
Right now, it's six belts or orbits, if you will, of 11 satellites each. So we have 66 operational satellites that provide fully global coverage with overlap and a handoff from satellite to satellite. As we move towards the launch of our Iridium Next constellation starting in 2015, it will continue to operate as is, and then we will start launching in 2015, nine satellites at a time, and we will deploy those satellites into the spare and the operational orbit as we see fit. And it will look and continue to operate very similar to today with some enhanced services on into the 2020s and 2030s possibly.
In a community, especially, well, obviously one of the early adopters outside of military, which has been extraordinary, the defense aspect of the adoption of Iridium, I mean, that was a no-brainer. It didn't take a whole lot of rocket scientists to figure out that, yeah, the rocket science in this particular case made a whole lot of sense. But the business aviation community has adopted it in a big way, because every second aloft requires the boss to stay in contact while he's getting from point A to point B. And Iridium has filled some holes that people didn't even know existed, but more important, I mean, it's always been there, and it's bloody everywhere.
Very true. I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, as some other technologies were struggling to maintain their infrastructure and the quality of their service, that they started to seize on the idea of using Iridium technology for the cabin communications to either complement what they had or in some cases replace what they had. And they started to become more comfortable and come to rely on the reliability and the call quality that Iridium had. and started to recognize that they had been sacrificing for many years with just having connectivity possibly just in the U.S. or possibly just in the lower 48. And all of a sudden, now they could have ubiquitous communications into the Caribbean, into the North Atlantic, Pacific, and Europe, and worldwide. So as I think word started to spread and as experience became through word of mouth, and also the price points of the technology compared to much other satellite technology at the time, we find ourselves with quite a foothold in the industry today.
Well, you've made quite an impression. It's not just voice now, but data. And then there's this whole burgeoning aspect of how with the massive electronic revolution in the cockpits and in the airplanes and reporting the health of airplanes, being able to squitter all kinds of data back to a maintenance shop and basically let them know that number two is starting to act a little bit of hot, and by the time this thing comes back into the shop, there's already a mechanic with a plot ready to go. There's just such potential for having this information available. What am I missing here, though? There's got to be some great applications that are coming to fore.
I think you're absolutely right on. They are coming to fore, maybe not as quick as we would think. Aviation doesn't move quite as quickly as the terrestrial environment, but you're absolutely correct. Yeah. You're absolutely correct, though. The airframe manufacturers and the technology that's going into airframes that are being made today are generating exponentially more data to be transmitted to the ground, either for health status or operational statistics, just as you had mentioned. So we find ourselves working through our partners and with certain OEMs to capture what is possible, because before it was always thought that either you couldn't get the data or you could only get it when you got to the ground. And we're finding through a lot of creative engineering and just challenging the capabilities of the network that we're able to deliver this in real time or near real time, which provides much more value to the end consumer of that data than trying to wait till a plane gets to a destination.
Where is Iridium's business growing these days? More with Jim Campbell and Iridium's Brian Pemberton in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is getting an update on the Iridium satellite network from the company's Brian Pemberton.
What areas represent the greatest growth right now for Iridium's continual penetration into the aviation market? Is voice maintaining its prominence, or is it more data now?
I'd say voice is maintaining its prominence. We continue to see incremental growth year over year, additional airframes and even additional usage on existing customers in many cases. But data is really where we see the real upswing. With existing customers and airframes, but also especially as we move into the safety services environment, which gets us more of a foothold into the air transport market, we see a lot of potential for data growth and data applications, either supporting existing applications that have been around for a decade or so and actually starting to use our network for transport of that, or as we had talked about just a few minutes ago, these new data applications that people are dreaming up each day and new sensors and getting those delivered in real time.
We've looked at the need. I mean, let's face it, aviation is all about communication. It really is, getting to a point where you can have an effect and communicate, but the process thereof, both from the boss sitting in the back in a business jet to the pilot who's trying to get things done ahead of time to make sure the boss's car is there, as well as commercial markets, commercial transportation markets. Where do you see the greatest growth for Iridium, both short-term and long-term? Is this a business aviation prominent technology? Are we going to see more and more of it in commercial applications, or have we not seen the end of the defense explosion?
I think it's all of the above. I think we...
Oh, your boss must love that. Math.
there's definitely room for growth in business aviation, and some of it's incremental and some of it's a economic recovery and just being part of that return to prominence, if you will. It's almost green fields in a lot of the air transport arena, especially even in the cockpit, even though that's where we've had some early successes. And the proliferation of UAVs in the government sector, I think, is an explosive growth opportunity for everyone in the communications, terrestrial and satellite. So I think, through our partners, we plan to play a role in each of those segments. And looks like, a lot of real potential for us in the next 5 to 10 years.
You mentioned the UAV market. How are you working there?
We have some vendors that specifically serve the government and DoD communications market. They work with vendors who build and construct UAVs in both the manufacturing and the operational environments, and they deliver requirements back to us as to what they're trying to achieve through different communications means. And so we work with them to try to support them to do, in some cases, command and control type communications and sometimes basic reporting. So I think there's lots of opportunity there. And I think as UAVs start to transition from some of the surveillance to some more everyday use, both civilian and government, there's probably a lot of opportunity for many uses in telecommunications networks.
In tomorrow's conclusion of this interview, how Iridium is being used in a typical business aircraft installation. Brian Pemberton is the Director of Product Management, Aeronautical and Marine Products for Iridium Communications. Find out more about the company at iridium.com. Jim Campbell is the founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of Aero News Network. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.